Heavenly Father, we come before you. We ask that you can speak to each and every one of us as your servant explained your word. And I pray that you fill him with your Holy Spirit and with your Holy Scripture, so that as he teach and admonish one another, I pray that he teach with wisdom, that from you, and so that your children can recognize your voice and follow you. And I pray that you give us an obedient heart to obey what you have told us to do, and help us to receive the blessing from you, so that we know you are true and faithful God. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you please write beside verse 5, through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. Right beside the obedient, to the obedience that come from faith. Right beside that obedience, you write on Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 to 10. And Jesus Christ set the example for us to follow. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayer and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was hurt because of his reverent submission. Verse 8. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And was designated by God to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. As far as I understand the New Testament, God did not call his people just to have faith in him. God called his people to the obedience that comes from faith. Because Jesus Christ himself laid down the example for us to follow. In verse 8, chapter 5, the book of Hebrews, although Jesus Christ was a son, Jesus Christ himself learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, Jesus Christ became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. We don't just have faith in Jesus, because obedience comes from faith. We have to learn to obey Jesus. In other words, a lot of people say, I have faith in Jesus. You just believe Jesus. In your mouth only. You don't believe like that. That's not a genuine faith. A genuine faith always comes with obedience. Okay? In here, chapter 1, verse 1, Paul was called by God to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. So he understand the gospel of God fully. And then he tell us, I want you to circle the word to call, verse 5. Now Paul received grace and apostleship to call people from among all Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. We are called to obey. Called to obey Jesus. And then secondly, in verse 6, we are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Thirdly, in verse 7, we are called to be saints. Firstly, call to the obedience that comes from faith. Right beside obedience, you write down Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 and 10. Whenever you hear the apostle teaching us, the apostle is the command of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ always laid down the example for us to follow. He don't just teach us and let us hear. And he show us the way of doing it. He himself obeyed God's will. So we have to follow the very footstep of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to the obedience that comes from faith. We are called to belong to Jesus Christ. And we are called to be saint. I want to explain that to you clearly, one by one. Right beside the obedient in chapter 1, verse 5, you write down 16. It's the same book. You write down 16:26. You write down 16:26. But now, reveal and make known through the prophetic writing by the command of eternal God, so that all nations mean all people from different nations, may believe and obey him. The genuine belief always comes with obedience. If you believe in Jesus, you always obey Jesus. You don't just say, oh, I have faith in Jesus without obedience. Let me tell you what it is like. If you say that you have faith in Jesus without obedience, you follow the very footstep of Satan, the devil. You write down James. James chapter 2. Verse 19. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Because demons believe in Jesus too. Demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He strongly believes in that. But he's scared. He shudder. He didn't obey. Okay, so the entire Bible tells us that don't ever tell me you believe in God. That belief is not a genuine belief. It's not a biblical belief. Beliefs always come with obedience. Obedience that comes from faith. Not only in chapter 1, verse 5, also in chapter 16, verse 26, right beside 16:26, my belief and obey him. Right beside obey, you write down 1:5. And then you also write down James, not equal to James, chapter 2, verse 19. And also I want you to write down, right beside 2:19, James 2:19. You believe that there's one God? Good. Even the demon believe that and shudder. You write down Matthew 7:21. The demon never do the will of God. So not everyone who say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. Only those who do the will of the Father will be able to enter the kingdom of God. The one who do the will of the Father is the obedient child. Jai, could you read that? 7:21, Matthew.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven.
Who does the will of the Father? Is he an obedient child or is he a disobedient child?
Obedient child.
So, what happened to the disobedient child according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2? What is inside the disobedient child? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2.
in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient.
What kind of spirit is that?
Disobedient spirit?
Disobedient spirit. It's evil spirit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Only those who obey Jesus have the Holy Spirit in there. The disobedient spirit inside the disobedient child. Obedient spirit inside the obedient child. And help you to obey Jesus. Okay? Now, go back. We are called to the obedience that comes from faith. We are called to follow the example of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, he learned obedience through suffering. Okay? So we have to follow his footsteps. Secondly, in verse 6, you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Right beside belongs to Jesus Christ. Called to belong to Jesus Christ. What does it mean by belongs to Jesus Christ? You write down 8, 9. Chapter 8, verse 9. If you do not have the Spirit of Christ inside you, you do not belong to Jesus Christ. If we are called to belong to Jesus Christ, that means we are called to receive the obedient Spirit, the Holy Spirit within our heart, so that through the help of the Holy Spirit, we be able to obey Jesus. Jai, could you read it? 8, 9.
You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ.
We are called to belong to Jesus Christ. That means we are called to receive the Spirit of Christ. Does it make sense?
Yes.
Right? We are called to receive the Spirit of Christ. Because in Ephesians, according to Paul writing in chapter 2, verse 2, you were dead in your sins and transgression in which you used to live when you followed the way of this world and when you followed the way of the evil spirit who is now at work in those who disobey God. It is the evil spirit who caused you not to obey Jesus. In other words, if you tell me that you have faith in Jesus and yet you disobey him, that means in your heart, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You have the what? The spirit of demon. You understand? Okay? Now, first of all, number one, we are called to the obedience that comes from faith. Secondly, that's 1:5. Number 2, 1:6. We are called to belong to Jesus. To belong to Jesus Christ. That means we are called to receive the Holy Spirit. That help you. That help you to obey Jesus. You understand? He didn't say, okay, now I want you to have faith in Jesus, and then I want you to obey Jesus, and then you have to rely upon your own strength. No, he didn't say that. He said you're called to belong to Jesus so that you receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help you to obey. All you have to do is yield to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve him. Don't quench the Spirit fire. You understand? Allow him to move you. Allow him to enable you. Just like Philippians chapter 4 verse 13 saying, I can do all things through him who give me strength. It's the Holy Spirit who gives you strength. Why? Because the Spirit is not a spirit of timidity. The Spirit is the spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. According to 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, isn't it? 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. When you have the Holy Spirit within you, that Holy Spirit will empower you to finish the task that God wants you to do. And I'm not saying that you rely upon yourself to finish God's will, to do God's will. So I want you to write beside belongs, chapter 1, verse 6. We are called to belong to Jesus Christ, right beside belong. You write down 8, 9. And you write down 2 Timothy 1, 7. And you write down Galatians 5, 25. You write down Philippians 4:13. That means God will give you all the resources so that you be able to be an obedient child. So that's why we have to seek after. What do we seek after? We seek after to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Like Ephesians 5:18, you write that down. Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Holy Spirit, we have to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. Follow the Holy Spirit moving. Okay? He will move you to do it. He will empower you to do it. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. That strength is 2 Timothy 1:7. That strength is the power. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of power. Okay? Thirdly, 1:7. We are called to be saints. Called to be saints. If you obey God's voice, and you have the Holy Spirit to empower you to do it, and people look at you, you are saved. What does it mean by saint? The Holy One, right? In the book of Isaiah, what's the name of Jesus? The Holy One of Israel. The Holy One of Israel. And we are called to be saint, and we are called to look like Jesus, right? Nowadays, a lot of Christians, they don't know that they are called. It's all only a pastor are called. Pastor Paul are called to be an apostle. You and I are called to the obedience that comes from faith. We are called to belong to Jesus Christ. And we are called to be saved. Don't let the Catholic Church to deceive you. Oh, after so-and-so dead, and then sanctify him. Call him Holy One, right? Before we die, we are called to be saint already. Right? If you don't read the scripture, then you thought they are holy. Right? They are not holy. You understand? Joshua, do you understand? We are all called. Do you know what I mean by the church? Church means call from the world. To be saint, it belongs to Jesus, to the obedient that come from faith. That's what I mean by church. Church doesn't mean a building is a church. Church composed of people. You understand? A group of obedient child, a group of people that belongs to Jesus Christ, and they are holy. Holy means, okay, go back to the word saint, write down set apart. separated, set apart. Paul set apart to preach the gospel. We set apart to witness for Jesus Christ. That's why we are called to be saints. Right beside to be saints, you write down at 180, to witness for Jesus. To witness for Jesus Christ. Now, and then he say, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, then and only then you receive grace and you receive peace from God. When we are set apart to do God's word, to belong to Jesus Christ, to witness for Jesus, to obey Jesus, you have peace within your heart. Once you disobey God, you have no peace. You understand what I'm trying to say? Then and only then, you receive peace and grace from God the Father. Verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. Why would Paul thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you? Because your faith is being reported all over the world. In other words, before Paul write a letter to them, the book of Romans, and Paul heard that, they have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. But that faith is not enough. Why? Right beside that faith, you write that, 2 Peter, chapter 1, and chapter 3, 18. Chapter 1 is 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 5, all the way to 11. 2 Peter, chapter 1, 5, all the way to 11. 嘉怡.
For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Chapter 3, verse 18.
But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.
What is the reason why we have to add to your faith goodness, add to your goodness knowledge, add to the knowledge self-control, add to the self-control perseverance, add to perseverance godliness, add to godliness brotherly kindness, add to brotherly kindness love? What are the reasons why we have to grow in this attribute? Jia Yi?
Are they the fruits of the Spirit?
Are they the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Yes, they are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But what are the reasons why we have to grow in this attribute?
So that we will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of Christ.
Wow. What else?
And
If I don't have that, what kind of life I'm living if I don't have that?
A nearsighted and blind one.
Okay, what else?
And you're being ineffective and unproductive to God.
And what else?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
No.
Well, what's 10? Do you know what some Christians, they claim themselves to be Christian, they go to the church, and after a while, they fall back, they don't go to the church. They fall. You know why they fall? Based upon verse 10? What did he say?
Because they're not doing the things that they're not being, they're not adding knowledge and self-control and the other things to their faith.
They fall. They stumble. They used to believe in God. They no longer believe in God. They lost the salvation. Do you understand?
Yes.
Do you understand why? When Paul write a letter to those recipients in Romans, in Rome, I heard about your faith. And I still write a letter to you. That means I want you to what? To grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that you won't fall, you won't stumble, you won't depart from the faith, you won't be ineffective, you won't be unproductive, you won't be blindsided or nearsighted, so that you see clearly, wow, I know what I believe. I know God is the true God. Otherwise, by the time when you graduate from university, you walk away from your faith already. Do you understand, David? Tell me, what have you learned? What's the reason why we have to grow in this kind of attribute? To add to your faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, kindness, brotherly love. What do we have? Why we have to grow in this kind of attribute? What if I don't want to grow? What I refuse to learn? What happened? Christopher? Joshua? Yeah? What if you do your own thing? You go to the church. You do your own thing. You don't want to grow in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what happened? Will you fall?
Yeah.
What if you grow in this magnitude? Even though you fall? As I said, even though you fall 7 times, as it is recorded in Book of Proverbs, you still can stand up and do it again. You won't give up your faith. You understand? Let me tell you one thing. A lot of Christians, they go to the church, they claim themselves to be Christian. They don't believe. They don't really believe in God. Unless they turn around and change. You understand? Nowadays, a lot of people, they call themselves to have faith in Jesus. But they don't have obedience. They don't follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ. That's no good. They stumble. They fall. They're ineffective, unproductive. They don't bear fruit. Have they ever bring any people to Christ? No. You know what? If you don't grow, that means you tell your children, just believe in Jesus. Like me, don't have to grow. That means you not only you fall
and you want your children to fall. Your action speak louder than word, because they don't read the Bible. Even though they read the Bible, they won't see what I see. You understand? Do you understand?
So he said, a lot of pastors, they say things that you like to hear, but you don't read the Bible. You read it. That's not what you hear on Sunday.
And I believe Peter, he changed, especially when he grew older. At first, he said, I have faith in Jesus, and then I love to do my own thing. But Jesus prophesied, when you grow older, you reach out your hand and go to the place you don't want to go. That is obedience. You understand? You are called to the obedience that comes from faith. You are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Rely upon the Holy Spirit to obey Jesus. Rely upon His word, His promise, His reward to obey you. You understand? And you are called to be saved. We are not called to be wishy-washy Christians. You understand?
Yeah. You know what? Now you study what I study. You know what I know. And if you met any friends who call themselves to be Christian, you ask them, why don't you come to our church to study the Bible? Okay? Verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. Your faith in Jesus is being reported all over the world. Means they just enter the narrow gate. They are in the kindergarten only. You understand? We have to grow into maturity. Unfortunately, if people say, oh, all you need is your faith in Jesus, just believe in Jesus, but they don't read the Bible. Where does faith come from? Faith comes from hearing the message comes from the word of Christ. If you don't study the word of Christ, and how can you belong to Jesus? And how can you follow Jesus? So their faith is a blind faith. It's not a genuine faith. Because their faith is genuine, so that's why Paul say, well, I want you to grow. Add to your faith goodness, and then knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, and brotherly kindness, and love. Verse 9. God, whom I serve with my whole heart. In here it says my heart. In the original language is my spirit. Whom I serve with my spirit. In preaching the gospel of his son. Paul himself, he says, set apart for the gospel of God. Paul never preached about himself. He preached the gospel of his son. He tells people about Jesus Christ. Okay? He tells people about Jesus Christ. He didn't tell who he is, what he has done. I show it to you. Starting in chapter 1, and then all the way in the chapter 15, let's hear what Paul said. Chapter 15, verse
verse 17. Therefore, I glory, I boast in Christ Jesus, in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentile circle the world to obey God. I heard a lot of brothers and sisters leading people to Christ, just tell people to have faith in God and never tell them to obey God. You only share 50% of the gospel. I read that again, verse 18. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentile to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of sign and miracle through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way around the Illyricum, I will fully proclaim the gospel of Christ. Paul make up his mind when he preached the gospel of his son, not telling people who he is. He's hidden. When people see him, he see Christ live inside him. He magnified Christ Jesus. Okay? God, whom I serve with my whole heart, with my spirit, you serve God with my spirit in preaching the gospel of his son, is my witness how constantly I remember you, and in my prayer at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. What is the reason why Paul keep praying that he be able to go into Rome to preach the gospel to them? Can he not just preach the gospel by writing the book of Romans and let them read it? Because by reading it, they may not fully understand. Okay? And secondly, Paul longed to see them. Verse 11, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts by making you strong. How did Paul impart spiritual gifts to the saints and to make them strong? How? Anybody know? By laying hand on their head. Okay? By laying hand on their head. That's how he imparts spiritual gifts to his son, spiritual son Timothy. Okay? By laying hand on his head. And that is that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. In other words, if a pastor coming to you, just like Pastor Paul coming to Rome, and when he lay hand on you, when he see that you grow in your faith, and then later on you become mature Christian, you obey Jesus, you obey God, then you will be encouraged, and Paul will be encouraged too. So that's what Paul said. I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith.
If you come to a church, you know what? If you come to a church, all the Christians, they don't want to serve God. You go to that kind of church. Will you be lazy, Emily? Will you?
Yeah.
If you go to a church, you just all you have to do is stand up a few times and singing a song, and then sit down and listen to the sermon. That's what you call worship. And you think, I have worshiped God already. You remember what I have said before? The word worship is the same word as service. If you say to me, you worship God, but you never serve God, you never worship God. You remember Deuteronomy chapter 16, 16 and 17? What did Deuteronomy say? Three times a year, the head of the household has to lead his wife, his children, to the designated place, that is Jerusalem, to worship God. And when they go there to worship God, what do? Do they offer anything to God? Emily, could you read that, 16, 16, 17?
3 times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. No man should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you.
So how did they worship God? Empty-handed? So, when they are on earth, they worship God 3 times a year. Do you know what? In the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be resurrected, we are sent to heaven. Do you want to worship God empty-handed in those times? Or you want to bring fruit to see Jesus? And you know that if we don't grow spiritually, we'll be ineffective, unproductive. So we won't bear any fruit. We end up seeing Jesus Christ empty-handed, right? Right? In the earthly worship, we cannot worship God like that. In the heavenly worship, how can we worship God this way? We have to bear fruit. We have to bear fruit. Take a look at Matthew. There are 12 parables. The kingdom of God tells us that we all have to bear fruit. Okay? Remember Matthew chapter 25? He's going to separate the lamb with the goat. The lamb will be on the right side. They're the one who bear fruit. Goat on the left side. They don't serve God. They will be cast out. I don't want to go to a church like that and I end up being cast out. I want to go to a church and understand God's word. And then I'm going to check it out to see whether what the Pastor John say is correct. I check it out. I don't want to be deceived. You know? I want to know what I believe. I want to be sure that I'm prepared. Just like you come from mainland. If you were born in China, you know that in here you have to learn English. If you prepare earlier, then you're well prepared. You know what I mean? You know that in heaven, we all have to worship God. We all have to serve Him. Prepare yourself to worship God. And Revelation tells us in those days,
How do they prepare themselves? Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, said the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. For their deeds will follow them. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Brother and sister, we not only die in the Lord, we live in the Lord. We live to the Lord. Whether we die or we live, we die to the Lord, we live to the Lord, we belong to the Lord, we call to obey the Lord, we call to be saint. I can guarantee you, you will not see Jesus be empty-handed. You know what? In our church, in that four churches, we have a lot of ministry. That you have a lot of opportunity to serve God. Okay? You just say to God, I don't want just to hear the sermon. I want to put what I learned into practice. I want to grow in faith. Eventually to be a mature Christian. I want to learn your word. I want to put it into practice. And I want to be an obedient child. Not rely upon my own strength to obey God's word, but rely upon your promises and rely upon the Holy Spirit. So that wherever you are, you can influence people. You can change people's life. Okay? I would like to encourage you not to make friends with those who are lazy. If they don't want to serve the Lord, you distance yourself from Him. You follow those who obey God. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You don't follow Him. It's a dead end. They hear the sermon, their life never changes. Leave them alone. But the Bible says in the second parable, you don't kick them out either. You don't kick them out. Leave them alone. Don't pluck them out. No. I prove that to you. A lot of people come to the church, they're sleeping. Okay? You don't follow that? Okay? You don't follow them. They don't sleep at home. They sleep at the church. Second parable, the parable of the weeds. 13:24. Emily, could you read it? 13:24, all the way to 30.
Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servant came to him and said, Sir, don't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, Do you want us to go and pull them out? No, he answered, because while you're pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.
The weeds will be burned. The wheat will be put into the barn. So inside the church,
They are Christian, genuine one. And they are non-Christian. But they claim themselves to be Christian. There's no light in it. Don't unplug it. Leave them alone. Okay? But if you say, wow, he's lazy like that, he still calls himself to be Christian, I just follow him. You don't follow him. You read the Bible. Right? You know their destiny. Okay? Don't follow them. Leave them alone. They are the servant of the enemy. But they are within the same church. So don't ever tell me everyone will be saved within the same church. No. Okay? They are wheat and they are wheat. Okay? They are lamb and they are goat. One on the left side, one on the right side. Right? Do me a favor, read that Ecclesiastic chapter 10, verse 2 and 3. Ecclesiastic chapter 10, 2 and 3. And also, I tell you one thing. When you go to a school, you don't sit beside those who are lazy, who skip classes, who spend a lot of time playing computer games. You walk away from him. You don't even want to get close to him. They are useless. Okay? Not every student are good student either. Some are wishy-washy. Wait until when they are 24, 25 years old, they try to get a job, they can't get a job. Then you know. Okay? Don't even entertain yourself to go to his house, sleep over. I'm going to sleep over in his house to play computer game. Do you hear what I say? What did I just say? David, don't make friends with those people who like to play computer game. Christopher, they're useless. You mingle yourself with them, you're like them. You too, Michael. You be smug up, right? Mingle with those people who study well and ask them, how do you study that? Tell me. Right? I tell you ahead of time, reading from chapter 1 all the way to the end, that's the way to go. Don't jump. When I study, I don't study for the exam. When I study the Bible, I don't study for the sermon. I study from Genesis to Revelation. I put it in my heart. Got that? Good. You may have a good time. You mingle with a loser. When you graduate, he can't graduate. When you get a good job, he didn't get a good job. Then you see the difference. You got that? You got it. Okay. You got it. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you give our children a right mind, a keen mind, wisdom and understanding. As they hear, they understand. And they walk in it. And so that they receive the true blessing that you have in store for them. And so that they grow into maturity. They don't live by sight, they live by faith. They don't follow loser. They follow intelligent people, diligent people, and so that they be successful. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.